always want to thank the Lord for His goodness to us.
Yeah.
Opportunity that He's given us to be here. This is our first time to actually be in service. We came through Pacoima probably 7 years ago. But that time it wasn't a meeting time, and so we're glad to have the opportunity to be with the saints here.
Yeah.
I had a thought that I'd like to share with us. And I'd like to start out with a little story that Brother Leslie Busby related to me one time. And some of you may have heard that. But he brought out that, I don't know if it was the Korean War or Vietnam, but there was a story that he said that there was a troop or platoon or whatever you want to call it. And they had a certain watch and shift. And in this certain area that they were in, they kept losing their men. At night, the certain watch, it seems like it was occurring right towards the end of day, towards night. And they couldn't figure out, but every morning they'd find somebody dead there. And it happened several times. And so he finally told them, the commander told them, said, I want you to shoot at anything that moves. And so it came, another man was on duty in this spot, and towards nightfall he began to notice something. He raised his gun to shoot, and he saw something move out there, and all of a sudden he saw a hog. A hog was out there feeding on the grass and moving around, so he contemplated, I don't know if I had to shoot this or not. I mean, it just looks pretty harmless, a hog out there feeding. And so he said, but my commander told me to shoot. So he shot. And come to find out, it was an enemy soldier that had a carcass over him, camouflaged. But they were losing men because they were unaware there was movement that was taking place, and they were not aware of the enemy being there. And I thought about, I'd like to name that enemy today as self-confidence. Self-confidence. Self-confidence has taken some brethren and sisters out of our midst. Because they began to look, began to trust in themselves a little bit, became a little elevated in their minds. And the enemy was able to make inroads and cause a defeat. And we can see there's been those that I've known that have been saved. I remember there were some here that were from this congregation, I believe, years ago at Monarch when I was first saved. That we went out to Monarch and we prayed by the bridge together at night after night service was over with. But they're not here today. They're not here today. I think about a scripture that I'd like to get in Genesis 11th chapter. Genesis 11th chapter is a familiar text. Most of us have heard. Genesis 11th chapter. I'd like to start reading at the first verse. It said, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime, and they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. They were here building a tower. The tower, what we know as Tower of Babel. Babel means confusion. Yes. They were building something that wasn't according to divine instruction. They were building something, it said, the Lord said, they were making a name for themselves.
Right.
Sometimes when the Scripture brings out that it says the Lord said or they said, sometimes it doesn't always mean that they said it in the literal sense.
No.
For example, there's a Scripture that says, let us lay wait in blood. And the Lord said, so are the ways of those that are greedy. Sometimes it doesn't just come from the verbal where they said, let's make a name. But the Lord was reading from their heart and from their spirit. There was something that was taking place in their lives that they were building themselves. There was something there that wasn't according to the plan of God. And the Lord came down and confounded their language. And I thought about, you know, when we begin to build outside of God's plan for our lives, it begins to bring confusion. It begins to bring something into our hearts and our lives and to those around us that's confusing. There's a Scripture that says, if the trumpet blow an uncertain sound, how shall they know to prepare for battle? If there's an uncertain sound coming from my heart and from my life, something that's not in accord with holiness, as we heard this morning, something that's not in accord with the Spirit of God, there's going to be an uncertainty there in our midst. There's going to be an uncertainty there that who's going to be able to prepare for battle. Sometimes we've had meetings that I know of that there's been a call for laborers into the Lord's vineyard. And I believe we need to pray for that. But many of those times it's been geared to the young people. And I believe that. I believe young people need to consecrate their hearts and their lives. They need to put the Lord first and seek. But if they're not hearing the right sound, if they're not hearing the right sound from my heart and from my life, how do I expect them to prepare? I can't just push them out and expect them to go if the sound's not in my own heart and my own life. They've got to hear the sound. They've got to see that spirit of consecration. They've got to see that spirit of holiness and self-denial in our lives, or they're not going to catch it. They're not going to follow it. If our life is not given, it can come down even to our individual families, a father and mother in the home. If our lives are giving an uncertain sound, what are our children going to do? Can we expect them just to grow up and follow the ways of the Lord and submit their lives to the ways of God? They're not going to do it because they're confused and they don't know how to prepare. So it's important for us that our lives, the manner of our lives, our spirit would be in accord with God's spirit. And our sounds would be true. I enjoy hearing guitar. I love to hear the guitar play. I'm not a guitar player. I'm not musically inclined. But it sounds terrible when there's chords out of tune. It sounds bad. I'm not musically inclined, but I can tell when there's some notes off, some strings that have to... You know, it's that way in the congregation of the saints.
Yeah.
It doesn't take very long till you can pick up someone's out of tune here.
Yeah.
This sound, it doesn't sound right. The Spirit of Christ wasn't behind that. May the Lord help us that our hearts and our lives would be in tune with the Spirit of God. It's very important for us if we want the Lord's blessings. Another Scripture I'd like to turn to is 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. This is a familiar text with David in his battle with Goliath. And I'd like to start reading in verse 14. And David was the youngest, and three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesus said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now David did that. He went and to see how his brother were doing and how the battle was going. And then I'd like to drop down to verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? His brothers were accusing him, You just come down, you were naughty. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be keeping the father's sheep. And he went down to do what his father told him to do, and that's what David was doing. And David was able to point back and said, Is there not a cause? He was not sent there on his own. David had been instructed by his father to go there. And he said, Is there not a cause? And I believe David had the confidence that he needed to have in this battle. He knew that he wasn't there on his own. He knew that he wasn't just going there to see how things were going. He knew that he had been sent by the Father. And also in, I'd like to read down in verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee and will give it to the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day. I thought about David. You know, David had confidence. David knew that he wasn't there in his own name. He knew that he wasn't trying to make a name. He knew that he wasn't going in his own strength. But he had been sent by his father. And that gave him the confidence that he needed. He had confidence. Do you know that you and I need confidence today? We need confidence. We need courage in our hearts to know that the Lord has sent us. That the Lord, the battle belongs to the Lord, and He's going to be able to deliver into our hands. We need confidence. We need courage. And that confidence becomes from knowing that the Father sent us. Knowing that I've submitted myself. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm not trying to be just naughty and go and see how things are working out. But I know that the Father sent me. And I have a purpose and I have confidence that God is able to deliver him into our hands. We need confidence today. And so many times the enemy wants to come in and discourage us. He wants to come in and accuse us and push us down. We need confidence to stand against those things. We need confidence to be able to override and go against them. And I believe the Lord is able to give that to us if we know that we're in His will and the Father has sent us. Goliath, I want to liken him a little bit. Goliath had self-confidence. You know Goliath was confident too? Goliath was very confident. But it was self-confidence. It wasn't backed by the Lord. We need confidence that's backed by the Lord. Not something in my own strength. Not something in my own capabilities. Not something that I feel like I'm able to do it. No, we need confidence. But we need Holy Ghost confidence. From the Holy Spirit. Self-confidence will bring us short. You know, we can pump ourselves up. I was involved in sports when I was younger. And you know, people pump themselves up.
Yes. Yes.
People motivate themselves and get themselves to a place where the adrenaline gets flowing and things begin to happen. They're able to do things through that just because of emotion, what you might say.
Yes.
We need something more than that.
Yes.
We need confidence from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I've submitted myself. I've humbled myself to the Lord's ways. I've chose His path. And there the Lord is able to bless. And the Lord is able to bring down the giants before us. But if we have self-confidence, we're going to fall. We're going to come short of the glory of God. And this is something that is easy to happen if we're not very careful. You know, I was thinking about the Scripture talks about children of God. You know why it uses that illustration of children? Because children depend upon their parents. They depend. When a storm comes or something strange happens, they want their mom and dad. They're very dependent. Have we grown up to where we don't need the Lord's hand anymore? I don't feel that real sense of I really need to earnestly pray today. I don't feel that real keenness, that real heavy leaning upon God for help and strength to overcome. We're setting ourselves up for a fall. It said God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. If we will humble ourselves under His hand, like a child, submit ourselves to Him, He'll give us the confidence that we need.
Yes, He will.
You know, David, he took 5 stones with him, didn't he? Have you ever thought about that? David, you know, we read about this story. This was a real battle to David. He didn't read of the outcome like you and I read of it. He didn't know, I don't know if he really realized that 1 stone was going to get the job done. He said he picked up 5 stones out of the brook. He didn't know exactly how it was all coming out. But he had confidence in God that the Lord was going to give him the victory. And we need to have that same confidence in our hearts and our lives that the Lord is going to give us the victory. If we allow the enemy room, if we allow him to come in and meditate, take our minds, begin to work in our minds, bringing in doubts, bringing in, I'm not for sure if the Lord's going to be able to help me in this or give me victory. You know, the Lord is not able to bless in that type of situation. He can't do that. We're going to have to exercise faith. We're going to have faith and confidence that I've submitted to the Lord the best I knew, the best I understand, and He's able to deliver the enemy into my hand. If we don't have that, if we don't have that keenness and that real reliance upon the Lord, we're going to find ourselves coming short time after time. Goliath was a giant. He had strength. He was a man of war from his youth. He had confidence. That's why he went out there every day. But his confidence was based in his flesh. His confidence was based in his own abilities. And we can't base our confidence in that. It has to be based upon the Spirit of God for the Lord to give us the victory like He would like to, for us to have it. As soon as we begin to put confidence, another thought I wanted to mention was David. You know, they tried to put Saul's armor on David, didn't they? They tried to put Saul's armor. Here, why don't you take these out for protection? You know, this little sling and stone is not going to be able to get the job done. You need to take you some protection and some armor. And David said, I have approved these. I have approved these things that you want me to use. I haven't tried them out. I haven't experienced them. You know, when the Lord, when we go forth into our battles and we go in to face the enemy, we're going to need to use the things that I've experienced already in my life. I can't use what someone else tells me to use all the time. I can't use exactly, and I'm not saying not to accept counsel or anything like that. I believe in accepting counsel and listening. But many times I've noticed in my own life the Lord has given me a victory. He's given me things that I've used before, that the Lord has blessed and I know has been successful. And let's not be ashamed of what God has given us. In our individual walks, you may think, well, I feel so inferior to what others are able to do. I feel so insufficient. I don't have that kind of armor. You don't need that kind of armor. Use what the Lord has given you. The Scriptures that He's given you is going to be able to do the same thing of what the others have got the victory over. Let's not be ashamed and not feel like, well, I can't do it like so and so, or I don't have the shining sword like brother so and so has. Use what the Lord has given you. It may look, you know, that's what God uses all the time. He uses things that are insignificant, things that don't look like they're very much accountable. That's what the Lord uses. Let's not be ashamed to allow the enemy to cow us down. Let's go forth in the name of the Lord, knowing that the Lord is able, whatever's out in front of us. I know the Lord is able to bring that giant down by the power of God. You know, it takes sometimes courage to take those steps out there. It takes lots of courage. The enemy will come in and paint dark pictures to you. Will make you feel like you're going to be mincemeat, so to speak. The enemy's just going to grind you up and spit you out backwards. You're going to come out defeated and down low. That's what the enemy pictures to us. That's what he told David. He said, I want to take your head off your shoulders. I want to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. Are we going to let that scare us? When the Lord begins to put a burden on our heart, when the Lord begins to reveal Himself to us and wants us to step, wants us to begin to move in His presence, are we going to begin to draw back? I remember as a young Christian how hard it was to testify. Man, I was so scared. I trembled. I'm not the type of person that I never did like to stand in front of people. I have a difficult time in relating to people. And I never enjoyed. We had a speech class that I was in high school. I hated it. Oh, it was a nightmare to me. But when I got saved, the Lord helped me. The Lord helped me. Let me know you need to testify. You might feel like leave that up to someone else. They can do it better. No, the Lord wants us to testify. Amen. He wants us to use the Scripture, a song, whatever God gives us, to His glory. Amen. You know, that's what I like about the Church of God. I appreciate the liberty of the Spirit in our midst, in our services. This thing, we don't have to have preaching every time. We don't have to have everything set in order. That's the liberty. That's what we... what I relish. To me, that's what drew me to the saints. I've been to churches where things could be said good. I've been to places where there was a lot of emotion, there was excitement and things going on. But there's not nothing like being in the house of the saints, being with the saints, where there's a liberty and freedom in the Spirit. And that's what we want. And the Lord wants us to have that freedom and that liberty in our individual lives. He doesn't want us to be cowed down. He doesn't want us to be pushed under. How many times have we? I know I've experienced that in my own life. How many times have we allowed the enemy to press us down and to hinder us? We've suffered many times things that we really didn't need to suffer. Just because We allowed the enemy to have place. May the Lord encourage our hearts. David got the victory because he was in the Lord's name. Now I want to talk about just a little bit about being in the Lord's name, what that means. Sometimes we end our prayers, we say in Jesus' name. You know, the Lord doesn't answer every one of those prayers that we say in Jesus' name. I'm not against saying in Jesus' name. I say that myself. But there's so much more to being in Christ's name. There's a scripture that says in Colossians 3:17, you don't have to turn there, but he said, whatsoever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Christ. Do it in His name. I thought about when we come to the time of picking a companion for life and in marriage. A lot of people have in mind it's pleasure. But marriage is not all pleasure. There's some benefits in marriage, but it's not all pleasure. And I thought about how the wife, her maiden name becomes insignificant. She loses her maiden name and takes on the name of her husband. Do you know we do that when we become married to Christ? We lose our name. We lose what that means by our name. I lose the right to do what I want to do. I lose the right in life to choose what I want to choose. I give that up. There's a scripture that says, they twain shall be one flesh. And I want to say, since I've been married, I had a few misconceptions of marriage when I first got married. But I can say over the last, been 11 years, I've grown spiritually through marriage. I've grown. Because I didn't get my own way. I had to learn to submit. Sometimes we think, well, you know, it's the wife that has to submit. And the Bible does teach the wife submit to their husband. But you know the husband has to submit. The husband doesn't get his way. The scripture says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. I have to submit my desires. What I wanted to do for the best interest of my family. For the best interest of my children. And when we enter into that relationship and marriage and we learn, we begin to yield ourselves, we begin to humble ourselves. You know, when I used to think, I'll be honest with you this morning, I used to think I was pretty spiritual. I thought I had a good hold of things before I got married. But when I got married, I found out I had to learn some things. We all do. We have to learn some things with the Lord. When we become married to Him, we don't get our own way. We start taking our own way, you start going in your own name. And that's where you lose the battle. That's why the Lord, He said, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. That's when our hearts are in tune with His Spirit.
That's right.
That's where I've come to the place that I don't want my will. That's where I've come to the place that, Lord, I want You to have Your way. I don't want to do, I don't want to live where I want to live. I don't want the job that I want. I want You to have Your way totally and completely.
Amen.
That's when the Lord's able to answer prayer.
That's right.
That's when it's in the Lord's name. And that's when you're going to find the mountains being able to be moved and the Goliaths coming down. That's the secret that David had. David knew that. David had yielded his life. He had submitted to the Lord. And he knew that, and that gave him confidence and strength that I know the Lord is able to give me the victory. But if I begin to go in my own name, I begin to follow the selfish path and do what I want to do, it begins to bring confusion. And we can see that in the world today in families where fathers are not taking their responsibilities like they should. They buy the boats and they enjoy their nice fishing trips, expensive trips when their families are at home and are in need. I'm not against being able to enjoy life. The Lord has provided a lot of things for us. But when I take on a course when it's not the best for my family, then I'm becoming selfish. And I'm going in my own name, in my own strength. And that begins to bring confusion into our midst and into our families. It happens the same way in congregations. May the Lord help us to get to that place that I've yielded everything up to the Lord. That I'm not wanting to take my own name. I'm married to Christ.
Amen.
I'm married to Him. Till death do us part. And I'm not wanting to go my own route. That's the place that the Lord is able to bless us. That's the place that's going to be in His name. And that's where we're going to be able to get the victory that the Lord wants us to have. I'd like to turn to another scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. First Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and start reading at the first verse. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord." He said, "I know nothing of myself." The Apostle Paul had a strong dependence upon the Lord. He didn't get to the place where he felt like, "I know what to do. I've been through that before. I know exactly what to do." He wasn't in that. He said, "I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified." You know, it doesn't matter how long that we've been saved. It doesn't matter how long you may have been saved for 20 or 30 years. We still got to be in the place where we feel like we don't know anything. And actually we don't. If the Spirit of God does not illuminate my heart, if it doesn't illuminate my heart and show me those places in my life, then I'm not going to be able to know. He said, "I know nothing of myself." And that's one of the thoughts I wanted to bring to our attention. You're not going to know your own heart. You're not going to know the recesses. There's things that are so deep in people's lives and their hearts, motives that you can't possibly know on your own. It's only as the Spirit of God would illuminate us. It's only as the Spirit of God would give us light and understanding. The Scripture in Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And that goes for you and I too, regardless of how long we've been saved. There can be things that creep in there that I really don't know, and I'm not sure what's taking place in my life until the Spirit of God illuminates it to my mind and to my understanding. That's when I know, and that's when the Lord is able to help us. He said in Psalms, He said, "Search me, O God, and try me, and know my thoughts." We have to have that prayer in our hearts and our lives. We can't just go from day to day feeling confident, having self-confidence. We need to ask the Lord to search us. Know my thoughts, because I don't know myself. Left to myself, what's the song say? "Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I should go astray, wander far away in darkness, nor reach that land of endless day." Left to ourselves, me to myself, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to be able to make heaven my home. It doesn't matter how big I am, like Goliath. It doesn't matter if I was a man of war from my youth. If I come to a place where I'm not depending, if I'm not yearning, if I've lost that place of a child, then I'm losing something. When I lose that place of a child of dependency, I start going into self-confidence. And I failed to have the confidence of the Holy Spirit. And self-confidence will bring us short. And will not have the victory that the Lord wants us to have. You know one thing He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. You know what one of those truths are? The truth about ourselves.
Right.
He'll show us the doctrine. He'll show us the doctrine. He'll show us His ways. But the truth of myself, where I can understand why I did what I did, why I'm doing what I'm doing, the things that I say, the way I'm responding to my brothers and sisters, the Lord is able to help me to see the truth about myself. And to me, that's one of the greatest truths. The greatest truths that we can understand. Brother Jerry, the other day, I appreciated the thought. He said in his photography, he can blur out some things that doesn't look very good and focus in on some other things that are pretty and kind of do... How'd you say that? What'd you call that? Reframing?
Reframing. Yes, that's true.
The Lord... I lost my thought there. Hope you bear with me. The Lord, by His Holy Spirit... I can't just always... I wholly agree with what Brother Jerry was bringing. I'm not saying, and I believe that. The part I want to talk about or bring out is that when it comes to myself, I can't reframe it. I can't reframe it. If I look just at my strengths, if I just look at my good parts and think, well, I'm doing all
right,
I'm going to miss it. The Holy Spirit, I believe, was help sent into our hearts and our lives to help us to see the truth in our own hearts. To give us light. To give us understanding. I remember before I'd gotten saved, I was just as worldly as anybody of you that before you were saved. The things that I did, the things that I partook of, I didn't understand. I didn't see. I didn't comprehend until light from the Holy Spirit came. And He helped me to recognize. You know, the Lord, that doesn't stop when we get saved. As I began to walk with the Lord and I began to yield myself to Him, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal the truth about myself. And when I get that, when I begin to understand the things that are in my heart, that the Lord doesn't want there, that He puts His finger in, then I'm able to get a correct picture.
Right.
Then I'm able to understand and know the way that the Lord wants me to go. I thought about as the message was going forth this morning. Sometimes I thought about the Scripture it said in 1 Timothy. He said, to the pure all things are pure. But to the undefiled is nothing pure.
Right.
You know, we reflect. We have a tendency to reflect out there what's going on inside here.
Right. Yeah.
And when we begin to see things that are pure, that are supposed to be pure, and they begin to look defiled and tainted to us, we need to begin to examine inside.
Right.
Yeah.
Because many times I reflect what's in here, I that's how I see things out there. That's why it's so important for us to see. That's why it's so important for us to know and understand ourselves and the ways of God. Because left to ourselves without the aid of the Holy Spirit, we begin to make excuses. The Scripture says a man's ways are clean in his own eyes. But when we become in the presence of God, when we submit ourselves and yield ourselves to Him, those places that didn't seem like very much, they become abominable, you might say. When we come into the presence of God, those little things, you might have said, well, I just spoke too quick. Forget about that, you know? Some of those things become abominable. I thought about Isaiah when he became in the presence of the Lord. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. The Lord, he saw the Lord in His purity, in His holiness, and it just showed him that he showed himself out. And he said, I'm an unclean man. That's why we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can sit. Brother Clifford Wilson told me one time, he said, a man can sit in a congregation for 50 years and die lost. Think about that. Sit in the congregation of the saints 50 years and die lost, unsaved. It takes more than our own intellectual abilities, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It takes light and understanding from the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to get that when I go in my own name. I've got to submit myself to the Lord. I've got to pray earnestly that the Lord would help me to understand. That the Lord would show me those places in my heart, in my life, that need correcting. And the Lord, I believe, if we're honest with ourselves and we desire that, the Lord will begin to speak to us. He'll begin to point things out that maybe we've overlooked, that we haven't seen before. You know, when we begin to pray with that way, the Lord begins to bring certain things in our lives. It's not always just through prayer. He begins to bring things into our lives that touch us. That's the Lord's hand. Let's not fight against those things. Let's not get discouraged at those things that the Lord allows to come to us to show us where we're at. Let's thank the Lord for His mercy and for His love to us. Pray for me. I want to be true. I want to be faithful. And I believe the Lord is able to give us the confidence that we need. If we will go in His name, He'll be able to bless us. Pray for me. I want to be true and faithful.